there, and thank you for tuning in to this week's talk. We are so pumped you decided to join us. To get the full experience out of today's message, we recommend downloading or opening up the Church on the Ridge mobile app, where you can fill out notes and take them with you throughout the week. Without further ado, here's this week's talk.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Church on the Ridge. Thank you, Rebecca and David, for singing that song and being a part of it. You know, it's a great season for us. It really is. We're in the midst of big transition stuff. And whenever you're in the midst of transition, you got to look and say, hey, God, what are you up to? What are you doing? What's going on? Because the world is rocking and things are happening. Last week, I got a lot of feedback over my boss being here. You know, when your boss is here, you just like, So I was all nervous and everything. People are like, Charlie, what are things not going well because you had to bring in the big guns? You know, what's going on? No. Things are going great. But just wanted you to be encouraged by that. And yes, we do have to raise another $750,000. And it's kind of cool because four people this week have come and talked to me specifically about that. One guy told me, he said, Charlie, you need to stop apologizing. I'm like, what do you mean? He's well, stop it. We get it. We get it. We're in a billing program, and it's going to be messy, and it's going to be stuff. And hey, you know, we're all adults, and so you don't have to don't sweat it. We're with you. You know, it's our church. And I was like, wow, thank you, God. Another person came and says, hey, could we just go ahead and take the commitments? I go, we need $750,000. Yeah, we're ready. Just take the commitments. So no, pray about it. Pray. Just keep praying. In 2 weeks, we'll take those commitments. And what was really great is we're now under right around $700,000. I think it's like $699 or something. So we've, without even taking commitments, people have already committed and pledged and given, you know, 50. So it's pretty cool. And I'm excited about what's going to happen in this transition as we go through this thing. We kind of squeeze together and move upstairs. In fact, right after this gathering, if you've got two arms and two legs, I need you because we got to take down these 16-foot walls of sheetrock and 2x6 steel studs and steel. I don't know. They have steel. What are they? Okay, whatever. Metal studs. And I brought a pair of gloves. So I'd love to have your help. If you got some, you know, Seahawk games, they're going to win. And you can put it on your VCR and you'll watch it later. Have you guys used those? They're amazing. You can fast forward through the commercials. Okay. But it's frustrating. It's frustrating. Here, God's doing some really cool stuff, but there's frustration. Do you know two things can be true at the same time? You can go, hey, God's doing some cool stuff, but this sucks. You guys are looking at me like you've never had that experience. Like, hey, I believe, I don't believe. Okay, so what do you do? What do you do when there's a delay? When they pushes the pause button? Hey, keep the tape moving. No, I'm putting you on pause right now. It's frustrating. Maybe things are not moving in your life the way you want them to. Or things are moving and they're going in the wrong direction. Like, hey, my plan was over here and it seems like things are going south. What happens when there's that delay and you're going, God, this whole series is being about plugged in, about staying connected to Christ in a way that's profound, in a way that's real, in a way that's more than just churchy and just religious-y stuff. Use the illustration of a vacuum. You're vacuuming your rug and you get a little too far and I got to get that last piece and you go a little too far away and the thing gets unplugged and you're like, no power. But as long as you stay close to Christ, you stay plugged into Him, man, there is something that flows through you that's real and that's tangible and it's hard to explain, but it's something that happens in your life. You go, hey, I can make this. I've got power to do what I normally cannot do. And so in this time of frustration, when things are going good, but there's frustration and you're, I gotta get back to Jesus. I gotta get plugged in. I get back to His Word. I go, God, what did you say about this? What do you have to say? Because when I'm not sure I can't hear you, then I can go right back to this book and say, oh man, and these words come alive and it's wild. And these words in John chapter 15, we've been looking at. He says, I am the vine. Now, these words are in red, so whenever you see words in red in your Bible, it means that these are the words that Jesus actually spoke. So he's, I am the vine, and you, Charlie, you, Church on the Ridge, are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, if you stay plugged in, that's what he's saying, if you stay plugged in, man, you're going to have lots of power. You're going to do all kinds of cool stuff. Here's the phrase, you're going to bear a lot of fruit. He says, but if you're unplugged, that lint is never going to come up. You can't do much. In fact, you can't really do anything. Oh, you can be frustrated. You can yell at people. But you can't do a lot. He says, if anyone does not remain in me, and me in him, he's like a branch. He's thrown away and withers, and such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. We'll talk about that as we go along this thing. Verse 7 says, if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, and this is wild. I can't even believe this isn't in the Bible. You ever read things in the Bible and you go, that can't be true, so you just skip it and you move on to something else? You go, okay, this is one of those Bible things. It's just way too something for anybody to really, just tell me how to love my wife or something, because this can't be right. What does it say? If you remain in me, my words remain in you. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. Was Jesus smoking crack when he said that? What a promise! I watched the new Aladdin the other day on an airplane coming back from someplace, and you get 3 wishes. Jesus gives you all of them. That was like one of the rules. You can't wish for more wishes. And I wish this building would be done on time, under budget. So much for the Bible. You ever do that? It ain't working. I must be reading it wrong. There must be some hidden message in here. God, I ask, you promise, where is it? Something I learned about God's promises. Every promise in the Bible, every promise that God gives you has a premise. Every promise in the Bible has a premise, a condition. You ever told your kids this? Hey, guys, kids, if you get your room clean, I'll take you to Target. Heard that? So afternoon comes around. Mom, when we go to Target, Oh, we're not going. You promised. You take us to Target, and I'm going to Target. I'm going to Target. You take us to Target. Now, that's not your kids. That's the kids of the people that don't go to Church on the Ridge. Because here, the kids at Church on the Ridge, they've learned from Pastor Stephen and Ethan and the team, and they're wonderful kids, but other kids, right? Mom, you promised. No. What did I say? If, right? You didn't clean your room. Promise had a premise to it, a condition. And God is a great parent. He's a wonderful heavenly father. He's an awesome dad. He says, hey, man, I got all kinds of promises, but there are premises. So let's look at 2 of them this morning. First premise in this says, if you remain in me, there's the condition. If you remain in me. I'm not a genie. I'm not a Santa Claus. I'm not a divine bellhop. You ring the bell and I come and give you whatever you want. No. Every promise I have has a premise. If you remain in me, if you stay plugged in. And I looked at this, and they taught me in seminary that when I look at something in the Bible, I'm going, okay, what does it mean? It says, remain in him. What does that mean? It says, it's helpful if you go back to the original language, and the Bible was written in Greek when they're writing this stuff down because that's the language they spoke, and then we translate it in English because most of us don't speak Greek. And so I looked it up, and the root word for remain is meno in the Greek, meno. And one of the ways it's used is living in a house. If you abide in a house, where's your abode? Oh, minnow. If you live in a house, as long as I live and remain in the house, I'm fulfilling that premise, that condition. Let me ask you, ever been embarrassed about where you live? Just like, oh, I don't want anybody to see my house. Growing up, my parents divorced, my mom, raising a single mom, trying to raise two kids, and doing the best she could, and she's working hard, and we had this one house that was the best house I'd ever lived in. I thought, wow, what a house. It was amazing. We were renting. We couldn't afford to buy anything. We were renting this house, and I don't know what happened. My brother and I probably punched some holes in the walls or did some stuff, but anyway, the landlord kicked us out, and we had to go into this shack. We moved into this shack, just this piece, just this house that, man, was not good, and I was embarrassed about it. People would take me home, and I'd say, hey, man, drop me off on the corner. Literally, drop me off on the corner. And I would just walk to my house because I didn't want them to see where I lived. And I was in this phase of my life in Salem there where I was not fully plugged in. You know, you ever kind of have something plugged in and it kind of goes, ooh, and then you just hold the cord just right, you know, kind of in, kind of, right? That's where I was. And so I was at church, I'd be all Jesus-y, you know. Oh, yeah, Jesus, I love Jesus. And then on Friday nights, it'd be all me, you know, my buddies. Oh, I don't know where Jesus is, but hey. So I'm going up to this house that I'm just embarrassed to be a part of. And I get dropped off one night. I was playing basketball with some of my buddies, and we're playing basketball. I'm sweaty and hot, and it's about 7 o'clock at night. And I come in the doors, and the place is dark. Lights are off. And I'm like, okay, you know, I just need a shower, man. I get it cleaned up, get to bed. And jump in the shower, and no hot water. This is long before I'd ever been on a mission trip, Krista. And I didn't know that there's places in the world that don't have hot water. And I've learned that since. But, you know, at 16 years old, 17 years old, I did not know that you could not, and it didn't work. And I'm like, what's going on? So out at the back of the house, there used to be an outhouse. So the outhouse was here, and right next to the outhouse was the hot water tank, which was outside the house, and it was in this little shed next to where the outhouse used to be. And so I go back there, and I'm like, oh, man. And I'm looking down, and I'm looking, and the pilot light is out for the hot water tank. So it's like, no, okay. So I start flipping around. I turn the knob on. I'm looking. I'm like going, oh, man, I don't have any matches. I don't have a lighter. And I go back inside the house. I'm scrambling around. I'm trying to find some matches. I get the matches. Go back out, open the shed door, and I'm down there, and true story. Yeah, it was bad. As soon as I struck that match, this thing blew up. Shed blows up. My hair catches on fire. My clothes are on fire. I'm doing this number trying to put myself out. I don't know what to do with the whole thing there. And I had a buddy who worked for the fire department. His name is Bob. And I run in the house, and I called Bob. This is back before we had these things that you could do like this. I had to actually... I think maybe it was like this. Could have been like this. No, I call Bob. Bob, I think I burned the house down. I think it's burning the house down. Man, I don't know what to do. He goes, Charlie, you know, come on. And I don't know why he thought I was a kidder, but I, you know, hey. What? And he goes, and about that time, that he's kind of telling me that I'm, you know, hey, I don't really believe you. The pain hits. You know, right? The smell of my hair burning, my face is starting to blister up, and it hurts. So I'm crying. I said, "No, Bob, I'm serious, man. I don't know what to do. He goes, "Okay, if I call the fire department out there and you're just, you know, messing with them, you're going to get in trouble." I said, "No, it's real." He says, "Okay, go in the bathroom and just start splashing water on your face. All right? Okay. Hang up the phone." I go in the bathroom, I'm splashing water, and the pain is just, every time I splash water, it felt better. You know, you've ever been burned, you get it. It's on my face. Hair's gone. I don't know, 2-3 minutes, wonderful, Salem Fire Department comes, phew, hook and ladder truck, the aid truck, you know, the chief of the fire department, what do they call those guys, commander, whatever he is, and he's got his big Suburban, right? And they come busting into the house, and I want to tell you, if you're a first responder, let me give you some just a little insight. You walk into a bathroom where a guy's splashing water on his face. When he turns and looks at you, do not do this. His mouth dropped. His eyes got wide because he saw my face now. The hair is all black. I'm all blistered up. And I went, oh, no, right? My beautiful face. And this is what you get. They put me in the aid car, the ambulance, put the fire out of the back of the shed. Next thing I know, I'm in the hospital. I don't know what it takes for you, but that was one of those moments where it was a wake-up call. Hey, life can be over. Hey, my like, I'm not guaranteed tomorrow. Moral of the story. I was embarrassed about where I lived. I had to make a decision. Am I going to be minnow in Jesus? Or am I going to be out? Am I going to live in Jesus? Am I embarrassed about who he is in my life? Some of you are in that same place, but you're kind of in, kind of out, kind of in, kind of out. And God says, look, the Bible doesn't work. Well, if you remain, if you live in, the premise to live in him, he is the house. And am I in Jesus or am I ashamed of him? If you're living in me, ask. If you're living in my home, ask. If you're living, if you're connected to me, ask. Wish for, dream big. And when you're plugged in, he is your source, he is your life. And when you're unplugged, life can be frustrating and hard. And life is frustrating and hard with Christ. I've got him empowering me and carrying me. Here's the other thing. When I live in Jesus, when I minnow in him, there are certain things that I'm not going to ask for. Certain things I'm not going to wish for that I wish for before I lived in him. Let me put it like this. What if you lived at grandma's house? You know, somehow you worked it out. You're living with grandma, and you're her favorite grandchild. You're just the sweetest thing. You're living with grandma, and you know, oh, it's grandma. She's so nice. There are some things you are not going to ask grandma if you could. You're just not even going to ask. Hey, grandma, Friday night, I want to have a kegger here. Yeah, and we're going to do some, we got marijuana, man. I got everybody. It's legal now in the state, so it should be no big deal. And there might be some minors here, but it would, you know, we'll make sure that they don't drink or toke, you know. But hey, what do you think, Grandma? What's she going to say? Oh, some of you guys' grandma like, oh, yeah, okay. Bring some for me. Where did you grow up? I thought I grew up bad. Grandma's going to say no. You're not even going to ask. Well, one, because she's going to say no. Number two, because you don't want grandma to think less of you. You're like, you don't want to break her heart. No. I'm her favorite grandchild, and she believes in me, and she, no, I'm not. Write this down. A lot of things we ask God for, we would never ask God for if we truly lived in him. A lot of things we wish for, we would never ask God for if we truly lived in him. I know that's long, but there are things in my life that man, when I'm living over here, embarrassed about God, embarrassed about where I really am supposed to live, and I live over here, man, I need this God. But when I'm in him, I'm like, no, you know what? That's minnow, live, abide. Another way this Greek word can be used is in wait, W-A-I-T, wait. That's the worst word in the English language, wait. I don't want to wait. Who in the world likes to wait? That's what we're talking about when there's a delay and we're having to wait and it's not finished and things aren't going the way we want them to. And if it's me, in my life, if I don't get an answer, I'll wait for about 20, 30 seconds. And then you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to figure it out. You know what? This building's not going well. I'm going to start sending off emails. I'm going to start talking to the mayor. I'm going to start talking to the contractor. I'm going to start barking at the architect. I'm going to start barking at people. I'm going to start letting them know, hey, you've got to get this stuff done. No, we're not paying. I waited long enough, man. I waited at least 30 seconds. And God says, minnow, wait in me. When we were planning on how we're going to communicate the $750,000 and what we're going to call the campaign to encourage people and put around it, and say, we've got to raise $750,000, one of the ideas that came out is let's get in the people's pocket. That didn't have a big ring to it, so we decided against that one, right? Another one was, ask them to dig deeper. That one didn't go over real well either. And then we go, hey, Cornerstone for Generations 2020. Oh, cool. We're going to, you know, the Cornerstone for Generations goes to the middle of 2020. We're going to ask people to just go to the end of the year. Go to the end of 2020. Let's finish the year. Let's keep giving our monthly commitments. If you're doing that, we say, hey, let's take it through 2020. And another one was, hey, the building's going to be done in 2020, Lord willing. It's going to be done in 2020. So, all right, Cornerstone to 2020. That's all right, cool, 2020. Then someone said, hey, you know what else? 2020 is like when you go to the doctor and they say you've got perfect eyesight, they say you have 2020. You see perfectly. But, oh, yeah, that's cool. So talk about vision. Talk about what God sees out there in the future. Well, I learned something about myself, and maybe this is true for you. I'm myopic. I have really bad eyesight. I can see about to hear if I'm lucky. God has perfect vision. He sees everything. When back in 2003, we're talking about, hey, we're gonna start a church. I saw about here, and Sandy, my lovely wife, she's amazing. She leads this gal to Christ. She brings her to faith in Christ, and she says, hey, you need to meet my husband. He needs Jesus too. And so they invited us over, and I lead her husband to Christ, and it was a great story. And about 6 months into this thing, said, you know, I've been given to these charities around here, and they're nice, but man, I love what God has done in my life. He's changed my life. I want to give to something that matters, that will have eternal impact. And he says, hey, I'm gonna give you my charitable donation this year. I said, okay, cool. He said, I want you to use it to help start your church. I said, all right, great. And he hands me a check for $1 million. I saw this, right? And God said, hey, I don't know. You know, where am I going to get the money? How are we going to start a church? It's expensive. How's it going to happen? God says, hey, I see perfectly. When we came here February 9th, 2003, to look at Snoqualmie Ridge, it was a beautiful day, absolutely gorgeous. God was setting me up, but it was absolutely gorgeous. Not a cloud in the sky. I'm coming from Texas, right? And it's always sunny there. And you can barbecue in January and your flip-flops. And in February, oh, God, it's gorgeous. Oh, just beautiful. And I'm like, no. This is not going to work. There's like 700 homes here. This is not, you know, I didn't even heard of Snoqualmie. Who ever heard of this place? My wife did. She grew up in Bellevue. She goes, oh, yeah, we used to go on field trips there in school. Look at a big log. I'm like, no. God, if you want me to start a church, I'll start a church in Bellevue, right? Kirkland, you know. If you really want me to, maybe Redmond at the time wasn't really, you know. But hey, I'll go. But Snoqualmie? Seriously? Myopic. We buy this land in 2006. Say, hey, we'll just use that as investment. You know, we'll get in the game. And hey, when time comes for us to get some real property, myopic. Come down to, now we're into the project. It's delayed. Cost overrun. God! God spoke to me very clearly when I decided to wait. About 2 months ago, I said, okay, God, I'm going to wait. I'm going to stop pushing, striving, pressing, yelling. Frustration, yes. God, yes. And he spoke these words to me. Charlie, when did I go blind? Remember, you can't see. When did I stop being able to? It's like that song you sang, Rebecca. God's our vision. If I don't wait for him and his plan, his purpose, you know what I'm saying? God, I don't trust you. God, you're blind. God, you don't have the ability to see because I can see really good and you're obviously not seeing it, so I need to take over here. And instead of waiting in him and saying, God, I will trust you through this, I roll up my sleeves and push. It would be like telling Grandma, Grandma, you're a liar. Grandma, you're untrustworthy. You're a con artist. Grandma, you have no integrity at all. Can you imagine telling your sweet grandma that? Look at her and saying, you have... How in the world do we think we can look at the God of the universe who loves us and has never failed us? And he says, hey, yeah, I have, what I'm saying is, I have no faith in you. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, I can't even see God. And I wonder why I'm not getting my wishes. I wonder why there's a delay because God's at work in me trying to get me to minnow instead of to my building built or my job to come through or my marriage to happen. After all the ways God has proven himself, I still get frustrated. Jump to unplugged. Let me show you just what just happened. God is so cool. We have a challenge with parking next door. It's one of the reasons we thought the place to do it, we'd have a challenge with parking. Permit-wise, legal-wise, we're all good, but there's 134 parking spots. We have 300 parking spots on this building, so 134, so less than half. It's like, whoa, it's going to be tight. Now, it's not going to be a problem for our guests because all of you guys are going to park in the back 40. But our new people have nice spots, but you guys, right? So it's going to be tight. Jeff goes, Jeff, Charlie, we're going to need to buy some 12-cart golf carts, 12-passenger golf carts. I said, dude, we can't afford those, but we'll get you some rickshaws. You know, get some guys just, you know. It's going to be tight. So the neighbor on the far side, he's a great guy. He's developing a warehouse office complex, and I went to him and said, hey, we're going to be neighbors, man. You know, can we use some of your parking? It's going to be a little tight for us. Love to use some of your parking. And he goes, yeah. I said, well, we worked it out to where we're going to build the parking places on his property, his parking places, and he's going to pay for it, and he's going to let us use them. He's paying for it. It's like, wow, how cool is God? So we're all in, man. We're going like crazy. This is going to be awesome. We've got our parking problems. About 6 months ago, comes to me. He says, Charlie, so I'm really sorry, but we were changing directions. I'm not going to build a warehouse office complex. We're going to lease the whole thing to Snow King Hockey people, the ice rink people, and so I signed a 30-year lease with them. So they're going to own the whole thing. I mean, I own the property, but it's their lease now, and I couldn't say, oh, except for these 24 spots that we're going to have to let the church. So it didn't make sense. So I'm sorry, but the guy who runs it is a really nice guy. He tells me, it's a really nice guy. Like, okay, how do I meet this really nice guy? What am I going to do? Right? Minnow. Wait on the Lord. I'm in men's Bible study, 6 a.m. Thursday morning. And a guy said, hey, man, it's cool. I met the neighbor of the property next door. I go, you did? How'd you meet him? He goes, yeah, he's a Snow King guy. We're doing the loan for him. My bank's doing a loan for him, so I've got an engagement. I go, you know it. Yeah. I go, hey, can you hook me up? He goes, sure. So later that day, he sends an email. Hey, Dave, this is Charlie. Charlie, this is Dave. You guys are going to be neighbors. You should be friends. So I emailed Dave. Dave, love to have coffee with you. You open to it. You know, great. And then, you ever stalk people? Who is this Dave guy? So I get on LinkedIn, and I start, oh, my goodness. This guy's a big developer, Seattle. This guy's been on the front page. I don't think this is going to go very well. This guy's all about money. Oh, my goodness. So he emails me back and says, yeah, sure, let's have coffee. So we're going to be neighbors. All right, fine. So we meet right over here at Starbucks in Extamod. And now that I've stalked him, I got his picture right. So I'm looking, where's Dave, right? And he comes walking to the door, says, we get our drinks, and he says, Pastor Charlie? I go, yeah. He goes, do I call you Pastor Charlie? I went, oh, this is going to be good. No, just call me Charlie. Okay. And our butts don't hardly hit the chair. And he looks over at me and he says, hey, do you mind if I pray? I don't think I closed my eyes. I don't think I closed my mouth. And he prays the sweetest prayer. And I went, this guy knows my Jesus. This guy's plugged in. You know, you can tell sometimes. You can just kind of, go, this guy's plugged in. And I go, okay. So he says amen, and I still haven't closed my mouth. And you got to tell me your story. He goes, oh, man, 5 years ago, you looked at me as on top of the world, but the three most important areas of my life were in the toilet. My marriage, my kids, and my job, wasn't doing it. I had a buddy of mine tell me about Jesus, and I turned over my life to him. And I quit that job, and I said, I'm going to focus on my marriage. I'm going to focus on my kids. I'm going to let my job be something that has meaning. So got involved in the Snow King thing, and it's just this whole thing of raising up kids, and we run these hockey programs, and my second in command and my three coaches, they're all solid followers of Jesus, and so I'm just trying to figure this thing out. Man, my oldest kid was in the Marine Corps, and it's been a challenge, and my two daughters, they're great kids. He's just glowing about his kids. He says, hey, my one daughter's getting married, and we can't find a pastor. I said, hey, you can call me Pastor Charlie. I didn't say that, but you know what I mean. I said, hey, well, have her call me. He says, you serious? I go, yeah. She said, they don't go to church anywhere. I go, I don't care. She said, have her call me. So sure enough, Caitlin emails me and I've said, hey, here's whatever, you know, all the stuff. Said, yeah, we're in. We'll give it a try. So I went through premarital counseling with them. And the whole time just talking about how Jesus transforms a marriage without Christ and sinners in marriage. And man, if you're going to have a great marriage, boy, let's make sure we have the priorities. And they're digging it, right? Just kind of leaning in. And by the last counseling session, I said, hey, you kind of have to make a decision. What kind of marriage are you going to have? And they said, you know, we want to have this Jesus marriage. So last Saturday, I did the wedding for her. I saw a parking lot. Jesus saw Caitlin and Kevin. I got your parking lot covered, Jeremy. I think Caitlin and Kevin will come here. They say, hey, we want to come to your church. It's kind of cool. What are you seeing right now? Can you sing that song like Rebecca did? No, you can't sing like Rebecca. She's amazing. But can you sing that song? Jesus, let me see what you see. Give me your vision. Why do we encourage you to take the first 7 minutes of your day and see what God sees? Why do we encourage you through this 2020 prayer season? Said, hey, man, you need to put this text onto your phone and text prayer 2020 to that number there. And you have to do it like 7 times. It's kind of janky, but eventually it'll work. Just kind of walk with it through, right? If you don't know, ask your kid. They'll help you do it. But get that on there. And you're going to be in there. And there's going to be a delay. And there's going to be a frustration. And the news is coming through. And it's not the news you wanted to hear. And you're going, hey, what's going on? And all of a sudden it buzzes. And you go, what do you want, God? Oh, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. And they shall mount up like wings as an eagle. And they'll run and not be weary. And they'll walk and not faint. And you go, okay, God, I want to stay plugged into you. Man, every hour, every 20, on the 20s for 2020. In 20 days, we're just trying to say, God, I want to be plugged into you. All right, let me add one other aspect of this. And for you A-types, you're going, he is not going to get through this message. You are absolutely right. You're going to have to come back next week. You want to fill in the blanks? You come back next week. Because you're going to die. Okay, just tell me. If people will come up to me after last year, hey, can you just tell me what the answer is just so I can have my... No, come back next week. Don't ask. There are times, check this out. There are times when waiting is not based on God's plan. It is based on our prayer or intercession. Another word for prayer is intercession. Prayer is the general sense of talking to God. Intercession is a specific type of talking to God. When I am talking to God for Hal, I am interceding for Hal. Will you bless him? Will you bless his marriage? God, watch over his kids, his grandkids. Man, take care of his business. He's getting ready to go into retirement. And Father, I just want you to, man, be a support and a strength and guide him through that. I am interceding for him. I am praying for him. Right? When you fill out your prayer requests on your prayer cards or on your app, and those come to me, I intercede for you and I say, okay, now we're going to pray for this person. That's intercession. It is so vitally important to this mental thing to wait on God. Let me put it like this. The offensive guard in football, And the linebacker's coming in to smear Russell. And that offensive guy, he stands there and he intercedes. He blocks that guy. He says, no, you're not getting to my quarterback. I'm going to keep the enemy from affecting what's supposed to happen. God has a will for Hal's life, for his family, and the enemy wants to wreck that. And when we intercede, it's a weird concept, but when we intercede, it actually pushes back the forces of darkness. The evil that we talked about, if you missed the talk about 3 weeks ago where I did on spiritual warfare, you need to dial that in. But when we pray, and the problem with prayer, problem with intercession, it feels a lot like waiting. All I'm doing is praying, Pastor. No. No, you are a minnow. You are bringing into existence what God's plan is on earth. Let's say Coach Pete Carroll calls a play. Russell gets in his helmet, right? It's an RPO. You know what an RPO is? Yeah, run pass option. So, I got to run pass. Okay, so everybody on the team, he's in the huddle. Guys, at RPO. All right, everybody knows their job. Tight end knows his job. The guards know the job. Everybody knows their job. Fullback knows their job. They know the job. And what it means is Russell has the option to either throw the ball or run with the ball. And he's got to kind of read the field, but everybody's got their place. And as long as everybody does their job, that thing usually works. This has been amazing. The NFL, the last couple of years, has been this new deal. I think, you know, perfected by our own guy. So here's Disley. He's the tight end, right? And RPO. And they're about the 20-yard line, and you know, just 20 yards from the goal. And he said, man, I've been the number one receiver on this team for a long time. My job is to check if one of the safeties are coming in for a blitz, and that's my job, to intercede and keep Russell from being sacked. But what I really want to do, I want Russell to see that I can catch another touchdown. So I'm just kind of force his hand. So I'll just kind of check the safety if he's coming in, and then go, hey, I'm open. Right. I'm not going to intercede. I'm going to be the star. I'm going to be the guy who's doing it. And sure enough, safety comes blitzing through, and Russell goes back for a 15-yard loss. Now, did Pete call the right play? I don't know. Here's what I do know. God has never called a bad play. God has never called a bad play for your life. There are times we go, Pete, what are you doing? You do not run the ball up the middle for the eighth time. It's not going anywhere. They figured it out. But God has never called a bad play for your life. Every one of them, they have been perfect plays. Look what it says in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus' disciples are going, Jesus, when you pray, your wishes get answered. When you pray, mountains move. When you pray, amazing things happen. You got to teach us how to minnow, how to wait on the Lord. He says, okay, this then is how you should pray. If you guys want to know, this is how you should pray. Our Father. And if you learned it the old way, you know God did a lot of drawings and paintings up in heaven. Our Father who is in heaven, art in heaven. Holy, hallowed, wow, you're God, I'm not. You're the coach, I'm not. No, you call the plays. You call the plays, I don't. And then he says, just to shrink that in, just to make sure that's in you, he says, your kingdom come. Your plays be done. Oh, I wish for this, I wish for this. No, your will. Let it be done in my life, in my situation, in my marriage, in my job, in my kids. God, let that happen. And what is that doing? That is intercession. And you're there and you're pleading and you're praying and you're trusting God. And it feels a lot like waiting. But it's called prayer. As it's done in heaven, because in heaven, they always run the right play. But if you look at our earth, you look and you go, wow, there's a lot of stuff going on that is not God's will. He called the right play, but you know what? Charlie didn't intercede. He thought he was going to be the star. Instead of praying, instead of minnowing, instead of waiting, man, he's out there, hey. Oh, how's the Heisman thing going? Look at me. Hey, bad play, coach. Wrong play. I'm going to run my play. I don't have time. Let me ask you three questions. Band's going to come up right now. We're going to close. I'm not willing to wait on God. It takes too long. I can't see. Let me ask you three questions. Where are you living? You got one foot in the house on Sunday and another foot in another house on Friday night? Kind of in, kind of out. God doesn't really come through. I don't really see it. Okay, so I better go get drunk. I better do my, at work, man, I'm gonna make my company the best. I need God for that. Where are you living? Number two, whose plays are you running? Oh, bad play, God. Now, no. Obviously, you're blind. You can't see the whole field, man. I got better vision. I'm only 5'10"? I get better. Okay, 5'11 and a quarter. I don't know what he is. Let's see. Whose plays are you calling? Whose plays are you running? I don't like that play. I want to score the touchdown. I can get this job done. Number three. Yeah, you willing to wait in Jesus? seat. Don't see the answer. Don't see the answer. Don't see the answer. God, I'm waiting for you. But you got something bigger. You got something better. You got a Caitlin and Kevin out there.
Thank you again for tuning into this week's talk. If you want to hear more from Church on the Ridge, check us out on our website at churchontheridge.org/talks or subscribe to our channel wherever you listen to podcasts. We also want to keep you inspired and in the know about what's going on here at Church on the Ridge. Check out our Facebook and Instagram pages where you will receive daily content that will help encourage you in your walk with Christ and keep you informed about what's going on at Church on the Ridge. Until next time, have a great week. We'll be right back.